This is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. We bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, we serve both the Red Army and the Tartan Army. In the international break, Scotland take on two friendlies in quick succession. The first against USA tonight, followed by an away trip to Norway on Tuesday. We'll hear from both Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee prior to that shortly. A check up on the Dons as well, having licked their wounds, preparing for a return to action away to the champions. Plus, the latest from the Highland League, Balmour and beyond, as well as rugby, boxing and more ahead of the in-demand Top 30 on the North East number one for sport across the region before 7. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
So, no Premiership action or one game on Sunday, but we'll come to that. Busy all the same. The first, we're with the boss, as always, who on this occasion is Gordon Strachan, preparing for back-to-back international friendlies. The first of those kicking off in a little over an hour against Jürgen Klinsmann's USA team.
I was hoping it would be a good one, and they'll be hoping it's a good one as well. I think they're 13th in the world just now, so, you know, we're putting the friendly that we think is attractive to the fans and the players of both sides, who think it's well worth their journey to get here, and it's well worth us getting together because we are feeling quite good about ourselves, and I'm sure they're feeling good about themselves as well at the moment. It's always a result, I think, in our business, but performance as well, and we can work on other things this week towards our long-term future as a group, so that's been good. We thought about, do we kind of change our system and switch it about and try something else? It may be a bit confusing. I think if we have one or two systems that we can rely on for next year or so, that's what we're looking for, and it's cracking. We've not got enough time, I think, to set out a new style of play. You know, if you're Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool, or when he was at Swans, you can a new set of Martinez, but we've not got that time to try some things out like that. We've got to use our time. We don't get much yet, and what we've got to do is try and keep it as simple as we can for the players, but effective at the same time. If you look at the nation as a whole, the sports, they have great athletes, you know, and I think they brought that athletic style that they have to the football side with no lack of ability. So it's like when they put their minds to something and they can do it well, and the game has improved tremendously. It's been great at grassroots for the last 40 years, but now, you know, because their players are getting about in Europe and the rest of the world, it's improving them all around as players, I think.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave's Galloway and McDermott. Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
A break from the action of the league and a couple of friendlies against opposition, I remember, and we were just talking about this, thrashing us in recent encounters, both of them, I think 5-1 and was it 4-0?
I think it was 4-0. Yeah. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good, that's for certain. Will this give us any indication as to whether progress has been made, or is it largely a pointless exercise, Dave?
No, I think Gordon Strachan has got to work with these guys in the friendlies, because it's now we've all focused on 2016. So I think he's got to be comfortable with the players that he's got, and he wants to be able to work out exactly who he wants to be with them for the Euro qualifiers. So no, I think it's you know, it will be interesting. There will be a wee bit of revenge. I mean, USA absolutely. I mean, we were pathetic over in Florida in that one, and
equally pathetic. Wrong time of the year, though. I mean, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah,
it was very hot.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, the time of the season, it was everything had packed up.
Let's face it, the morale in the Scotland camp wasn't exactly shining bright at the time. So,
and we wilted in the heat.
Yeah, but no, I do think it's looking forward to watching it. I think it will be, in answer to your question, I think it will be a measure of what progress has been made. And I think there's no doubt that everybody would agree progress certainly has been made.
Assistant boss Mark McGee explains the plan between now and the next campaign.
You know, I don't know how many games we'll have between now and the next competitive game. I'd imagine it might be, including these two, four, six, we might have eight or nine games, you know. So you can do a lot of damage in 8 and 9 games, as well as, you know, you can build a positive kind of environment. And I think we've started to build something positive, and I think therefore we don't want to lose that, and therefore, you know, the game becomes very important. We're not suddenly going to do something and we don't know how it's going to work or what's going to work. I think it was simply about giving people an opportunity within the same structure, and therefore in order not to make it too too much change. You know, it'll be done, you know, incrementally. You know, a couple of guys will get an opportunity maybe on Friday, and a couple of others will get an opportunity on Tuesday, you know. So it won't be like wholesale change and throw everything out of the good work that we've done already. So it's not so much experiment as simply giving people an opportunity.
It's not so much experiment as simply giving people an opportunity, unless you wear a red shirt most weekends in the pitch or you're in goal behind those red shirts. I'm sorry, I tried really,
calm down, John. Calm down.
Really hard. I lasted all of
it's
around.
It's a fair point, though.
What, 10 minutes of the
exactly,
show?
Exactly, yeah, I agree.
And the first five of those were devoted to news. We'll come back to that later, actually, with fans rep Alan Duncan. But the point Mike McGee makes is that they believe they've turned the corner and they're onto something that is potentially quite good, but they don't want to rock the apple cart too much for fear of it all crashing down around them again. Gordon Strachan echoing that sentiment with the notion that we've got two or three ways that we can play, and that's what we're going to keep doing because we don't have the time to make wholesale changes. It makes sense, I suppose, but should they be a little bit more cavalier in these games, Dave?
Maybe just a little bit, but I appreciate, John, what Strachan is on about when he says he doesn't want to deviate tactically too much. Obviously, there's got to be a bit of versatility, but the way Strachan does it, I like the simple way Strachan does it. He looks at his squad, and instead of getting them to just play the way he wants to play, he looks and he says, right, let's have a couple of systems that suit the players best.
Yeah.
And the players like that. That's got the players on side. They're not being asked to do anything alien, you know, like they were under Levine.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple stuff, isn't it, Dave? It's we've got one style pretty much away from home and one for home.
And yeah, it seems to be working.
And this is what you do, lads. This is how we'll play, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, and play to the players you've got at your disposal, strengths, and they're not a bad squad just now, and they work well together. There's a good mood in the camp, and we're not playing football that's alien, such as not having a striker. Mm. You know, that that one that worked so well and embarrassed the whole country.
Former Scotland boss and last to lead the nation to a major championship, Craig Brown, on the friendlies, and dare I say familiar territory here, on the subject of taking the games into our calendar, is cautiously optimistic.
You know, no game is meaningless, although I think Gordon will agree that you have to be very wary about having too many friendlies and alienating the managers. But this is an international weekend, so, you know, the games are clear anyway. And only the international players don't get a rest. I was just talking to Derek McInnes just now, and you know, he's giving the lads a couple of days off this week, but they'll be back to business Thursday, Friday, and obviously business as usual next week. So to take on friendlies, I think, is okay at this time when it is a scheduled international break. And Gordon clearly is getting to know his squad very well, and the more games, the better for him.
You're on North Sun 1's Friday Sport, where just ahead we hear from Tartan Army rep Alan Duncan on the match and who the squad should have included, plus the Dons regroup from the home defeat to Hearts and prepare to meet Celtic in Glasgow, and the rest of the weekend action. Previewed in full on the way moments.
North Sun 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
And tonight from Hampden as well, it's Scotland versus the USA tonight at Hampden. Local fans rep Alan Duncan off to the National Stadium as always, but upset the squad doesn't include any Dons. Mark Reynolds, Ryan Jack and Jamie Langfield, three of those who've probably been mentioned the most.
It's difficult for these guys. They're playing well. You know, their performances have been good this season. You've got guys like, I mean, Jamie Langfield. You know, he's been in these squads before a long time ago. He was an under-21 player for Scotland many, many years ago. You know, I think he deserves a chance. Ryan Jack, again, he's been on the fringes as well. There are others there that deserve a chance, especially in these games. These are the games where Gordon should be trying new players and seeing if they're up for international football. So it's a bit of a kick in the teeth. And with a great support coming from the North East for these games as well, it would be good for you know, people from this neck in the woods to see Aberdeen players in these squads as well.
Yeah, I mean the three guys you've mentioned, they must be wondering, you know, given their outstanding form this season, you know, what on earth do they have to do to be selected?
Well, that's right. I mean, they're playing well, they're performing well, they've raised it. It's like day and night from the past few seasons, and these guys must be thinking, well, they must be looking at the players that are in the squad and think, well, we're as good as, if not better than them. And as I say, these are the games that they deserve a chance in to see if they can perform. And no, it's disappointing. It must be quite demoralising for some of them. And you do wonder if they ever do get the chance, will they take it? You know, because they've been knocked back so many times.
To be fair, though, Gordon Strachan, you can definitely see the progress that the Scots have made under him.
I think what Gordon's done is he's instilled this winning mentality again. He's got a feel-good factor going on. You know, the whole country's gotten a bit of a lift from the past few games. Even the defeat to England, you know, it wasn't like a defeat because he played so well. And beating Croatia twice, I mean, that's a real feather in his cap and a scalp for us. And, you know, he's building slowly, and it's good to see. From a personal point of view, I was a doubter. I've been converted. I was always behind him, don't get me wrong, but I think that he's done really well. He's got a real good squad there, players who seem to want to play again. They're obviously enjoying it, and it's great to watch.
There's been a lukewarm response to the forthcoming friendly doubleheader, but I mean, what are your thoughts ahead of the games against America and Norway?
Well, I think the timing could have been better. I know that he has to take these international dates when they come round, but it's not good from a fan's point of view. I think the crowds will be low, especially at Hampden. I think there'll be a real lack of response to that. But good teams to play. You know, the USA are no mugs, which they proved when they beat us on their own patch last year. Norway have always been tough opposition, so you know they've got good players. So there'll be tough games, and it's good. There are good tests. I just think that maybe one game would have been enough. But he's obviously trying to get the team back to winning ways as much as he can, and trying to get the ranking points up as well. So you know, tough games, good games to have. I just think the timing from a fan's point of view is not great.
As Alan points out, tough games, good ones to have, not the best scheduling, but we wouldn't be mourning if they were meaningful and we were a way to qualify for something, I suppose. As is always the way with international friendly, a number of call-offs closer to time and replacements drafted in, which makes things interesting for the Predictor Gordon, as it is tonight, but we'll give it a go anyway. On to the teams for tonight. Predictor Gordon time, these are the 11 men who you think might start for Gordon Strachan tonight at Hampden against Team USA. Dave the Younger, we'll start with you. The team for tonight, please.
Okay, I will have Fox in goals. A back for Hutton, Berra, Hanley and Mulgrew. A sitting pair in front of the back four, Brown and Adam. Then a three in front of that, Mackay, Stephen, Naismith and Anya, with Fletcher leading the line.
Okay, same formation, 4-2-3-1, but quite a few differences. David Marshall in goals, Hutton, Martin, Hanley and Whittaker across the back. Brown and Mulgrew as the sitters.
Glad you got that right.
That's a limerick appearing.
Easy for you to say.
Snodgrass, Morrison and Naismith, and then Stephen Fletcher up front.
Okay. And the one to watch, the man who will potentially make the difference to the result for Scotland, Dave the Elder.
I'm going for Robert Snodgrass because he seems to be in a scoring spree for his country at the moment, and he can score against Croatia and England, so why not against the States?
Why not indeed? And Dave Galloway?
Anya for me, Ekechi Anya. He's been in irresistible form down the left. He's been a joy to watch, a real breath of fresh air, and I think he might be the man to get bums off seats at Hampden.
Yeah, he's flowing, sort of Orinoco flowing.
That's the one.
Can we please, I'm making a desperate plea, can we edit that from when this goes to podcast?
Why?
An Orinoco, never mind. Okay, and finally a scoreline for the match, Scotland versus USA. Dave,
I will go for Scotland 2, USA 1.
I tell you what, shall we look further ahead to Norway as well and ask you what you think that might be?
Norway 0, Scotland 1.
Okay, Dave.
For tonight, I think it might be a draw, but because we want to be patriotic and positive, 3-2 Scotland. It's a friendly, so give the crowd plenty of goals to enjoy.
I'm only going to say this just now. I'll just point this out. Last week when I asked you for a Scotland...
Now, I tell you, if it hadn't been for that chap in the middle and...
We'll come on to this in just a second.
So I was very close to being right.
I got see, last week right. I got the scoreline right, just the wrong way round. Yeah, I said 3-1 Aberdeen, it was 3-1 Hearts.
Can we just go back over last week for a moment? I said 1-0. You said...
I said 3-1 Aberdeen.
3-1.
I said 5-0.
And you said 5-0, Dave. And I think Andrew Shiney, when he was in, said 3-0. Was it or 4-0?
He was slightly less optimistic than me.
So of the three of us, four of us, the only one that had a scoreline that could have potentially panned out at any given moment was me. Because we were 1-0 up.
I still think if fates hadn't conspired, I would have been right.
We'll get there in a minute. Did you give me a Norway scoreline or not?
No, I didn't.
One. Right, fine. In the other games tonight, England take on Chile, kickoff at 8 o'clock for that one. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland travel to Turkey, where the fear is they'll get gobbled. That one on directly after we finish at 7. And Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane.
And he complains about me.
Can we edit that bit out of the podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane lead out the Republic for the first time at home until Latvia, 7:45 the kickoff there. Just one Scottish Premiership match going ahead. That's on Sunday when St Mirren take on Ross County. Things having changed slightly since last they played. St Mirren now higher up the table, but only just a win would see Derek Adams' men reclaim ninth place, with the Saints dropping back down the pecking order. So Sunday afternoon, a 3 o'clock kickoff for St Mirren versus Ross County. How's it going to go, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Derek Adams, he'd be absolutely delighted to get a second bite of this one after it was 2-0 for St Mirren. I think it's unfair that the punters are having to pay again for that one because it was into the second half. I can understand it, a cost for St Mirren, but you've got to think about your fans, surely. I think St Mirren will probably, I think they've got the bit between their teeth. Ross County, difficult long journey obviously for them, so I'm going to go for 2-1 to St Mirren.
Okay, now let's look back, because we have to. It's our job at last week's match against Hearts, a 3-1 home defeat. To be honest, we've only just peeled Dave off the roof of the main stand where he was embedded for the majority of the game, suggesting politely ways in which the referee may improve his officiating for future fixtures.
Yeah, give up. And, I think you said give up.
A good start.
And off microphone, there were just as many F's involved in his descriptions as there are in the term future fixtures. I'm not entirely sure the prospect of bailing his head will be taken on board or fully appreciated either, but it's the thought that counts. It did seem that we were awarded something like every third decision, and the ref wasn't spectacular for sure, but we had our own grievances as well, didn't we?
In terms of...
It wasn't our best day.
No, it wasn't. But the first half, I thought we were excellent. And, we shot ourselves in the foot as well. We should have had it out of sight by half time.
I thought we had three decent penalty claims before we actually got...
And the one, when you actually saw the one that we got, I'm not too sure that was a penalty, but I think that gives you a clue as to why the referee gave it, because he realised that he'd mucked up big style. So if Hearts, to get back to my point as to why my 5-0 wasn't that far away, if we got the penalty that we should have got, Hearts are down to 10 men, right. We score that one, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're two up with... Stop looking at me so daft. We're two up with a heap of the game to go, and I think we'd have gone on and run right against
I do agree with you there, Dave, because I think that would have opened the floodgates.
I thought you were really going to come up with five different instances where the ball should have been in the back of the net. Is why I was looking
but
at you.
But even, I mean, the point was that it was getting so bad that when Jamie Langfield punched the ball over with a good save and a goal kick was awarded, Jamie was just shaking his head and laughing.
He was laughing at the linesman.
But again, why did the, you know, if the referee misses it, that's, you've got an assistant who's right down there. What's he doing? Why is he not giving that? That was a decision against us, just to show that I'm fair and not biased.
No, I know. Do you think if, and I have no idea, and this is just something that's crossed my mind, but if you are, say, an assistant referee and you're on that line and there's something which is like a blatant mistake Is there ever a time where, rather than correct the guy that's on the park, you think, no, I've got to come in line with the union here, and this is what he's saying, I'll just have to go along with it. I know it's wrong, but I'm just going to go with it.
There shouldn't be, if that's the case, because that was an obvious one, and that's an obvious one where you're looking for your assistants to do what they're meant to, which is assist. Because all too often it would appear they get involved for what would seem to be situations so that they shouldn't be. So I just think the referee had a pretty poor game. I'm sure when he looks back at it, he'll agree that
I don't very much he'll ever agree verbally with you, Dave. A team which hadn't won a league game since they played us last, as you say, and stretched back some like seven fixtures, they would have been dead and buried. And full of young boys who no doubt would be thinking, oh, here we go again. Had they gone down 2-0 in the first half, with Niall converting what was, I think, our third solid penalty claim, if that had gone in, they would most likely have folded, wouldn't they, Dave? I mean, they wouldn't have come back.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, as Derek said after the game, he said that, you know, the gulf in class in that first half was as big between Aberdeen and Hearts as he has seen between any two teams all season. I mean, we were absolutely streets ahead of them in that first half.
One of the other big incidents, should Barry Robson have been sent off?
I won't speak for Dave, but I think the second one, although funnily enough, the manager thought the second one was soft, I thought the first yellow card was soft because when the free kick was retaken, I didn't see anything happen that was particularly different from the first.
No.
It wasn't an obvious win, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. How many times have you seen that given, as a yellow card for encroaching upon a free kick? I don't remember the last time that I saw it.
But you know what, John? I think there was a good point made this week, which was that it might actually, over the course of the season, that might be the game where we look back and say, look, and I'm sure Derek will use it to say you can't take anything for granted because, as Dave says, we were so far ahead of Hearts in that first half, yet we still came out wrong end of a 3-1 defeat. So, you know, we're a far better team than that result would suggest. And the fact that the fans clapped the team off at the end before working up to wait for the referee going off. I think that, you know, hopefully that the guys will have learn from that you really can't take anything for granted, and such was the gulf in class between the two sides. We just need to make sure, and we need to look at our own discipline again, because Barry being on that first yellow card, I'm sure he knows he shouldn't have even gone near the laddie, because he'd actually hit the ball too far ahead of him, and Ryan Jack was going to clear it anyway, so it was needless.
It was near the centre circle as well, wasn't it? I mean,
there was no danger.
Should he have known better than to half a player anywhere in the park, but especially in the centre circle? I mean, it must have crossed his mind, hang on, I'm on a yellow here.
Yeah, and also he knows if he gets sent off, he's missing a game that I'm sure he would have loved to have played down in Parkhead against one of his former clubs.
When I watched the two bookings that Barry got on the telly, I got completely the opposite view to what I got actually watching it at the game. When I was watching it at the game, my impression was that the first one was never a booking, the second one was. But having seen it on the telly, I think it was the other way around. I think technically, although it was a bit soft, the first one was a booking because he did clearly encroach. And yeah, it does go unpunished in a lot of games.
But again, it comes back to consistency, of course, doesn't it?
Exactly. But the second booking, you can see that he's clearly trying to get out of the way. He's got his hands up and he's trying to pull back. And I think the other guy does make a meal of it, to be fair.
I mean, I know we're biased. I mean, there's no two ways about that. That's what the show is. But it did seem to me, if a referee is bad, provided he's consistently bad for both teams, there's kind of, you know, a balance, but it seemed so one way.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing was on the Hearts websites, they were saying, don't bother going to travelling to Pittodrie because it's Brian's. You know, he's got history with Hearts. You know, and they were not happy that he was the referee. I'm sure they were absolutely delighted after the game. But in the lead-up, it was all, you know, they were citing all the problems they've had with him, so...
This will be a test now, won't it? Because Celtic away, you could weigh it up however you like. You could say, you know, a great one to come back to, because if we go down and we win, then confidence is right back up there. But lose, as most neutrals would probably expect, and we're likely to drop back down the table a little bit further again. And then it's St Johnstone away. It's not looking too handy either. It's potentially panic stations. Have they regrouped and refocused this week?
They've been off most of the week, so there's an, you know, an international break means there's players not there anyway. But no, I think Derek and Tony will have them very much prepared for that Celtic game. The big misses in the centre of the park with Willow and Barry both absent. But again,
but we had that for a period before, didn't we?
And we coped because the difference is the players that are coming in are not making up numbers. They're there to do a job and they'll do a job very well. Like Cammy Smith, big stage is ideal for him. Nicky Lowe, who must feel, and the manager said, you know, Nicky's got every right to feel aggrieved about his lack of match time because he's been absolutely immense for the 21s.
He's come on a couple of times as sub, and was it the Falkirk game, I think?
And he just bossed the game when he came on.
Ran the show.
With Joe Shaughnessy can play it right back, obviously, which means you can put Ryan in the middle of the park. So there's plenty options for the manager, and I think they'll be prepared. Celtic, it's before the Milan game, which it really is last chance saloon for them. So
half an eye.
Well, get into them.
But it will be anybody that's got the least bit niggle will not feature next Saturday against Aberdeen.
No, absolutely. I'm hearing that Aberdeen's Niall McGinn is in the Northern Ireland starting lineup tonight. He starts the friendly in Turkey.
Good.
Which is good. Let's hope he gets a couple of goals and comes back injury free.
Indeed.
I'm sorry to anyone that's Northern Irish and really desperate for a win, but I'd sooner have my player back unscathed if it's all the same to you. Speaking of internationals, and I know, again, we're biased here. I saw an argument this week. I can't remember who it was that placed it, so forgive me for that. But I saw an argument this week which said, was there anything for Jamie Langfield to gain to go away for this international call-up? You know, had he been called up, where all that would have happened is he'd have gone, he'd have joined the squad, which he's done before, and probably sat in his hands for the majority of the two games, if not all of that period, and then come back to his club. Would there have been anything for him to gain?
I think it's more international experience. It's and I'm sure if you ask Jamie,
I'm not saying back that argument.
I'm saying if you ask Jamie, would he rather be in the squad and not play and not be in the squad? I think any goalkeeper would say they would rather be in the squad, be part of it.
I mean, of course, we don't know for definite that Gordon Strachan hasn't picked up the phone and said, Jamie, look, I'm not putting you in this squad. I'm taking the guy from Park Thistle. And the reason is because he's got less experience than you and I want to give him, you know, that feel of the squad, etc. We don't know that's not happened.
No, absolutely not. So, we've all got this. That's the great thing about football. It's all about opinions. I still feel more aggrieved at Mark Reynolds, than Jamie, because I think Mark is of an age that you'd want him to be involved in the next campaign.
Agreed.
He's going to be at the prime, and there has not, to my mind, been a better defender in the SPFL this season.
No. And as for Ryan, I know a few people were calling for that. The one thing that you can say with Ryan is he's getting a regular game for the 21, so he's kind of got time on his side, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I was a wee bit distracted there because I have got the Scotland lineup coming through as I speak.
Carry on.
Did I just see Gordon Greer's name
mentioned? Yeah, David Marshall. It's coming through name by name. David Marshall, Alan Hutton. Talk amongst yourselves. Stephen Whittaker.
This might not be their best idea.
Yeah.
Grant Hanley's in there as well.
This is Friday Sports.
Gordon Greer. Number six, Barry Bannon. Number seven is Charlie Mulgrew.
Someone write these down.
Number eight, Scott Brown. Number nine, Stephen Fletcher. No surprise there. Number 10 for Scotland tonight, Robert Snodgrass. Number 11 is Craig Conway. Yeah. Craig Conway in the starting lineup. The substitutes. Number 12, Matt Jilks. Number 13, James MacArthur. Number 14 for Scotland tonight, Stevie Naismith. Number 15 is Christoph Berra. Number 16 is Charlie Adam. Number 17 is Russell Martin. And number 18, Lee Wallace. Number 19 is Gary Mackay-Stephen. Number 20, they're still coming, Ross McCormick. How many subs have they got here? 21, Scott Fox. We should have rehearsed this. Number 22, Ikechi Anya. He's not in the starting lineup. Number 23, Craig Bryson. That's it. How many subs was that? That was unbelievable. 12 subs.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 7 right in my starting lineup.
I've no idea how many I've got, but most of yours were on the bench. Yes, I think so.
Craig Conway is a player who came into things. He was. I remember him playing for Dundee United and scoring a couple of cracking goals against us at Pittodrie.
Yeah.
Is he a player that you think should be figuring at this stage?
Possibly. He's had a bit of an up and down spell at Cardiff. Yeah. He's now out on loan from there at Bright, I think it is. Good player on his day, a very, very effective wide player and a player that hopefully the Americans won't know too much about.
This is North Someone's Friday Sport, where we've got rugby, boxing and more football to come. That's first with a full preview of the games elsewhere. As next, we turn to Balmour and Jim McInally. Directly ahead.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmour and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
In Scotland's League 2, Peterhead not quite firing all cylinders in the league. They were tipped by many to win. They still might, of course, and they're only 4 points off leaders East Stirling as they go into tomorrow's fixture against them at Balmour. But having been dumped out of the Aberdeenshire Shield midweek by an every Locos Highland League side, not quite rosy now for Jim McInally.
They've done terrific, really. I mean, they've been there since day one and everybody's waited for them to fall by the wayside. I suppose, you know, they have had up and down results and all, because I think they've lost 2 games at home, 4-1, and they went a few games without winning. But it's just the nature of the league and the crazy way it is that nobody's ever put a run together that's toppled them yet. And, you know, that's why it's important for us that we go on a run at some point, and hopefully it would be a good day to make it 2 in a row on Saturday.
Yeah, it seems to be the thing with Peterhead. You seem to get good results and good performances and fits and starts. It must be frustrating for you as a manager.
Well, I mean, it's not unexpected, because, you know, if you look at the amount of changes I've got to make to the team. I mean, last week I had to play Craig Tully. We've been really short at the back, and you know, and we've been up against it a wee bit, but I can see light at the end of that tunnel now. In fact, I've signed today a boy for Raith Rovers, a defender, a boy called Reece Donaldson, to strengthen us a wee bit in that area. And obviously Craig Tully's signed a contract this week, a playing contract, so we need to strengthen up a wee bit at the back. Hopefully the boy for Raith Rovers will help us out in that aspect. I mean, he's 19, but he's played a lot of games for Raith Rovers, and you know, I've seen him play, and he's quite an aggressive boy, and I think that's what we're looking for defensively. So, as I've always said, if we can defend okay, win our battles, then we've got the ammunition up front to win games.
And it would be a big boost, wouldn't it, to topple the league leaders?
Well, we know what the prize is on Saturday. If we win the game, we go a point behind the league leaders, which puts us right in the frame. So, you know, we know, as I said for last week, that was our focus. We knew that, you know, we got a terrific result last week, and, you know, we knew that this Saturday was a massive game against East Stirling. So, you know, we will approach that as such, and hopefully the confidence that was starting to come into the players last week, you know, is maintained this week, because when they're confident bunch, they're a hard team to stop.
In the Highland League, a full fixture card tomorrow. First up tomorrow is Clack against Bucky Thistle. Sixth place, Devon Vale host Forest Mechanics. Game of the day sees leaders from Martin United welcome free-scoring, undefeated Broader Rangers. Currently in third, 3 points off the pace, but with a couple of games in hand over Steve Patterson's men.
We've kind of been a bit up and down form-wise, and yeah, we're still, you know, sitting top of the league, and we've had injuries for the last while to contend with, which I think Broader have been lucky in that respect, and I think once they maybe start getting a wee bit of that kind of luck against them, then, you know, that'll be a bigger test for them, because they've virtually been able to field the same starting 11, you know, every week. We're, you know, ready for this game. I don't really see it as a this early too, you know, significant. I think if they win, people will, what people are saying at the minute, are going to win. They're going to win the league anyway, so nothing changes there. And again, if we win, then I certainly wouldn't. We're not even at the halfway point, so. But I think it would be, psychologically, it would be obviously a wee advantage to whatever club, you know, if there is a victorious team on the day, you know.
In the other matches, Huntley host Fraserburgh. Managerless Keith make the trip to Harlow Park. Darren Still quitting his boss earlier today, ending a 15-year association with the club. Locos boss Kenny Cool back to business after a 3-2 victory over Peterhead in the Aberdeenshire Shield midweek.
Hopefully we'll turn up fresh and turn up with the same attitude as we have been doing in the last, well, all season really. You know, you can't knock your players if they've got to work hard, and that's what they've been doing for us, and we can't.
Yeah, you'll be looking for him to do well with the TV cameras here on Saturday as well.
Yeah, of course, that probably doesn't. It puts a bit of... there's nothing better for the guys to see themselves on TV, but hopefully they worry about that after the game.
Fourth place now and welcome second spot Wick Academy in another interesting tussle. Cove travel to play Rothes. It's a basement battle as Strathspey Thistle host Fort William. And the final one of the day sees Tariff United welcome Lossiemouth Juniors, Dave.
Yeah, it's league action all the way. Newly crowned Grill League Cup winners Bank Sadie. They're at home to FC Stonywood. Congratulations to the Spain Park side victors. A penalty shootout midweek against Cooter. Bankery St Tiernan are at home to Dice. Ellen United travel to Cooter. East End entertain Hall Russell United. It's Maud against Longside. New Elgin host Hermes, and league leaders Stonehaven are up against Deveronside. In the First Division East, Bridge of Don Thistle against Newmacher United. Glentanner travel to Buckenhaven Hearts. Cruden Bay are at home to Sunnybank. It's Lewes United against Colony Park, and Parkvale versus Fraserburgh United. First Division West, Bucky Rovers against Dufftown. Burghead Thistle travel to leaders Inverness City. Isle of Ale against Nairn St Ninian. Port Gordon Victoria at home to Fockabers. And finally, White Hills host Forest Thistle.
You're on North Sun 1's Friday Sport. Still to come ahead of the in-demand top 37, we focus on rugby and local boxing. Keep it North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
North Sun 1 with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond.
Here's a technical term.
This is Friday Sport.
Rugby, a wodge of international friendlies as the autumn tests continue this weekend. England host World Champs New Zealand at Twickenham tomorrow afternoon. Wales welcome Argentina. The match is against the All Blacks and Pumas, both kicking off at 2:30. Ireland, meanwhile, in a later kickoff hosting Australia, that one getting underway at 5:45. And Scotland not in action at Murrayfield until Sunday when we face South Africa. That one a 3 p.m. start. Close to home, and Aberdeen Grammar back at Rupert's Law tomorrow to face Gala in a 2 o'clock kickoff. Third bottom versus second top, and head coach Kevin Wynas relishing the prospect.
We always enjoy the Gala game. It seems to bring out the best in us. I personally enjoy playing against George Graham, the Gala coach, who's a pretty good guy, pretty straight talker. But certainly Gala are one of the form teams at the moment, and my understanding is they're even winning quite ugly just now. So hopefully we'll reverse that tomorrow. The squad are full of confidence, I must admit. They've worked really well this week. We've tweaked one or two things, brought in one or two players. So really looking forward to tomorrow's game.
Boxing, another night of local bouts tomorrow night at the Beach Ballroom with a bill which includes Matty McAllister and Darren Traynor.
A bit nervous, but really, to be honest with you, I can't really wait to do the job and hopefully win this international title.
Yeah, and you're topping the bill as well. Does that add to the nerves and the excitement for you?
A wee bit, yeah. Like, it's my first 10-rounder as well, so apart from that, I'm really looking forward to it. I can't really wait.
The International Masters Super Featherweight strap is what you're fighting for. Tell us a bit about your opponent. What do you know about him?
He's a durable journeyman. He's had a lot more fights than I've had professionally. Well, he's a durable, and he's a bit experienced, so just got to keep composed, keep calm, and just go and just do the job.
Can I find yourself along at the Beach Ballroom tomorrow night, Dave? Oh, no, you've got something else, haven't you, tomorrow?
I'm going to see the Flying Pigs at HMT tomorrow.
Otherwise booked.
Otherwise, I would have gone.
You would have, yeah. You've been before, haven't you?
I have, and it is an absolutely amazing experience. The place just goes mad because they've got the spring-loaded floor.
Yeah.
Which is great, and the place is literally bouncing when they've got the boxing
can
on.
Can you say it's Matty the Hawk McAllister, isn't it?
Yes. So
and
basically,
when he comes out,
yeah, the cry goes up. What time is it? And everybody goes, "It's hawk time."
Does he have an actual hawk with him when he comes in?
Not when he comes on stage. No.
That'd be good.
Health and safety.
He was enjoying doing that far too much.
He's been there before, I suspect. Right. So the that one, as I say, the Rugby tomorrow getting underway at 2 o'clock at Rubers Law if you fancy it. 8:05 tonight, 2 o'clock at Rubers Law, 3 p.m. at Balmoor tomorrow. Sunday afternoon at 3 for rugby from Murrayfield. It's not that quiet after all, and that's pretty much it for this week. Don't forget, you can download the show via iTunes or at northsun1.com/Friday Sport directly after the show. northsun1.com/Friday Sport. We're back same time next week for another Friday Sport. That time previewing the Dons versus Celtic right here on North Sun 1. Our weekend coverage, Dave.
Well, Jim is up at Balmoor Forest tomorrow afternoon for that one. Peterhead against East Stirling. I'll be here in the studio on North Sun 1 giving you updates on what's happening. Remember, there is a full programme apart from the SPFL. That's tomorrow afternoon. First preview round about 3:15 on North Sound 1.